Hi there, welcome to another interview. We have with us a guest from the Institute of Human and Machine Cognition. His name is Ted McPherson, and I'm very impressed with your credentials. He is Chief Executive Officer of InterSolve Group, Inc., which is what? That's advising big companies how to handle themselves and make money?
It's more than advising. We take ownership of results, and our role is to lead and assemble the best available talent from whatever source to execute the result.
Do they listen to you? Are they welcoming you?
We work mostly with chief executive officers and other people that own the agenda for their enterprise, whether they be in the Fortune 100 companies or Forbes 400 individuals or major investors in the United States. So they're very secure in themselves, value talent, leadership, speed, and good execution.
You were at one time a Bush appointee as Undersecretary for Education.
That's correct. I was Undersecretary of Education, and prior to that, Chief Financial Officer of the United States Department of Agriculture, both of which were very fulfilling and enjoyable assignments.
Politically. So what do you think of the political climate right now, because you were there politically, and then we'll get to No Child Left Behind and your thoughts on that.
Well, I've never been active particularly in politics. My role,
but you're around it. You're in it. You're in the middle of it.
It's true. My role in Washington, a lot of people go to Washington for politics and policy and press. Some of us go for results, responsibility, and resources. And my role was as much to manage the resources in these large federal departments and to make the effective use of resources as it was in policy. And I was involved in policy and politics, testified in Congress and so forth. But mainly there to make sure that the stewardship of the taxpayers' funds achieve the outcome in those large departments for which they're designed.
Do they? Are they still doing it? What is going to be the result now?
In terms of?
Any and all.
Well, in education, which is a $1 trillion industry in the United States, only 10% is in the federal government. So education is largely a state and local issue, as it properly should be. And 80% of the money invested in education in this country is state and local. 10% is private and the rest is federal government. But for things like student loans,
which are getting out of hand.
Student loans is a large enterprise. It's $400 billion and 22 million customers when I was there. And at times, the delinquency rates on student loans, which is what you're referring to, were as high as 22%. We were able to get it to 5%. So that's the difference. 17% on $400 billion is $68 billion. Some part of which would have been lost. So that's an example of achieving good results as to the use of resources. And those delinquency rates, as you suggest, have been increasing in recent times because of the economy and the higher cost of education and so forth. Same thing at the Department of Agriculture, which is spends over $70 billion a year when I was there, $200 million a day. Education, we were investing $140 billion, $384 million a day. So you can see the scale of the missions of these departments for which they're charged. And it's very important that they be operated and managed well from a resource utilization standpoint as well as a policy standpoint.
Will we ever be able to reduce our $1 trillion debt?
Well, I hope so. Because when you're
And are they asking for your advice on how to handle this?
Well, not currently. I left Washington at the end of 2005 and was honored to stay on the National Advisory Council for National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Yeah, for NASA.
So I'm not currently involved in Washington.
But your brain should be, maybe. If you can advise all these big businesses how to handle theirs, the character of it.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, that there is a need for not only profound innovation at the federal government level, but for business principles. I'm not saying that necessarily you can run public agencies as a business, but you can certainly improve their techniques and processes with a business background.
Are you talking Mitt Romney?
I'm interested in anyone who will bring a serious agenda to what are really acute and chronic issues in the United States. Spending is one. When you're spending almost 50 cents of every dollar, mm-hmm. you're borrowing almost 50 cents of every dollar that you spend. It'd be like you're going to the bank, borrowing some money, and going down to the grocery store and spending mm-hmm. half of every dollar. That's not sustainable. That's a very cavalier use of cash that you and I provide.
That's common sense. Why can't other people see it clearly and do something about it?
I think it takes leadership. It takes being able to see how to create value, how to deal with large customer bases, and making change in bureaucracies, which have a lot of natural strengths, takes finding career public officials that will take the risk to be innovative. I've found, my experience was that there was more risk in not being bold enough than in being too bold in making the kinds of changes that you're suggesting are valuable and to which I agree.
Do we have a dearth of leaders who can perhaps provide that kind of intelligence?
I was surprised that not more people were drawn to federal service in these kinds of roles. There are a lot of politicians that are attracted to Washington. But you can create huge value just because of the scale of these civilian, defense, intelligence. It's a big business. And it takes some sacrifice. It takes some willingness to go and serve. But it is very fulfilling for people who get involved and can be successful. In other words, can act in Washington without forgetting the skills and interpersonal behavior that brought them to Washington.
Do you miss it? Do you miss that interaction?
I miss the scale of the results that are possible. In government, if you make an incremental improvement, that's good. If you make a breakthrough, it's huge.
Do you see anyone there currently who is capable of making breakthroughs or even keeping it on an even helm?
I think it takes a lot of people. I think it takes good political appointees, which is a job, in my experience, that President Bush 43, took very seriously with his staff. There are about 400 federal Senate-confirmed, presidential-appointed Senate-confirmed positions. And picking the right people, putting them in the right roles, is critical, I think, to the success of any administration. And so, yeah, people make a difference. You know, one person, we say one person with courage is a majority.
We certainly don't have a majority in Congress. We won't get into that about the majority. All right, let's talk about your work with the companies, the Fortune 500s, etc. In the economy today, are they willing to take chances? Are they concerned with the industry and individuals with whom you come in contact?
I think the good companies are continuously improving and are content not to be satisfied. I think in the current environment economically, there are lots of uncertainties, whether you talk about healthcare legislation, tax rates, competitiveness, competition, changing roles of major countries in around the world. So it's a mixed picture. But I am an optimist. I believe in people. I believe in the United States. And so I think that the...
Are you ever disappointed?
I have disappointments, but I'm not wired to dwell on disappointments. I believe in possibilities and what can be done to make things better.
What about the tech industry today? I mean, you read the Wall Street Journal. Today it's Apple, tomorrow it's Netflix, then it's a blog, then it's a this, and then it's... And it's just constant merging and separating and IPOs. Where is this good for our country? Is this good for us as individuals?
I believe in competition. I believe in free markets. The technology sector is a game of high-speed chess.
Mm-hmm.
It's very competitive, and the pace is exceptionally quick.
and these multi-million billionaires who are 23 years old.
Well, I think that's a good thing, because that if they suffer the natural consequences of their actions. If they do something valuable and worthwhile, they should reap the rewards. And they're not afraid to try. And I think that's a very valuable attribute in entrepreneurship in sectors of the United States and other parts of the world.
Do you find that the leaders of today, some of the larger corporations, the non-tech companies, are they two-state? Are they somewhat leery of taking chances? And are they concerned about their shareholders, et cetera, too much so?
I think to be a chief executive officer in a major company today,
in the automobile industry or whatever,
is a very demanding job, and properly so, requires balancing the interests of various types of constituencies, directors, shareholders, employees, and so forth, stockholders. And I think what is important to see is that the duration or lifetime of a CEO is much shorter today.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a pressure from quarterly results, Wall Street, to achieve quick results. And I think many of the great innovations and progress in this country come from private companies, large private entrepreneurs, that can take an intermediate to longer term view of the value their enterprise is creating. And I think that's a sector that provides a lot of value in the United States.
And we're sitting here with Ted McPherson trying to pick his brain. What do you think, and you're talking about large corporations, of the PACs now that are contributing so much, these large groups and large corporations, to the political environment?
I think it's probably reached a point where it's got to be reformed, because the dollars involved really serve to limit the population of candidates. And I mean candidates at the state, local, mm-hmm. and national level. And so people should be incentivized to provide public service in some form, and not to have it dependent on having access to large amounts of money, whether it be at the national level or state and local level.
Look at the millions that are being spent right now on television and newspaper ads by just the Republican candidates. Those millions, if they were put into the pot to reduce our debt, it just doesn't seem reasonable.
Well, that's right. There's a tremendous opportunity cost for those funds, and they could be deployed and invested elsewhere with a lot of valuable results. And that's why I say it's probably reached the point where, for the outcome that it delivers, the large amounts of spending through the political process don't create the value.
We are at the last moment of the interview, unfortunately. Portfolio of a radio program. We can't extend it any further. We can't add any interesting minutes to it, because they're waiting for you here at IHMC. Ted McPherson, I want to thank you so much for being an excellent guest on the Interview Beat.
Well, I want to thank you for having me, and it's been my pleasure. I hope to see you again, and good luck to you and your listeners going forward.
And you're a nice gentleman to help me with my coat. Thank you, sir.